This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. You're first of many, so...
Yes, I was going to say I'm...
You're top of the line.
Yes, so you haven't answered the same questions today yet. So I'm going to start by saying congratulations on the movie and your work. But I want to jump backwards for a second. I saw you at Comic-Con on stage with the Women in Film. I forget what the panel was called.
Women Who Kick Ass.
That's what it was. And I'm going to give you mad props because I learned on that panel that you are very fucking smart. Like, you really gave succinct, intelligent, great answers, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was just a really good panel.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy being at Comic-Con this year, and how has it changed? The people I've spoken to who are also on Game of Thrones say that it's, like, life-changing what's gone on the last year in terms of popularity.
Yeah, there's been a shift. There's definitely been a shift. I loved Comic-Con, but it was my first one. So I didn't, unlike Kit or the others, like, I didn't have the comparison of the before the after, but my understanding is that steadily over the years, incrementally, the craziness over Thrones is getting bigger and bigger. So for me, it was just a dream because, like, my first experience of it was Thrones season 4 and promoting Hunger Games Mockingjay part 1. So I was oscillating between the two casts and the two incredible fan bases. So I had, like, the most incredible first experience.
Right, so you basically paid for no food, no drinks. You were just, I'm sure people, you know what I mean.
I didn't have time to have food or drink. I was just ushered between the two families for signings, panels, constantly. The days are almost a blur. But wow, it's like the takeover of the city by the fans. And it's just incredible. It's wonderful. How long have you been going?
A long time.
Yeah, and have you watched it get bigger and bigger and bigger? Because George R.R. Martin talks about, like, when he was walking around in the 70s, like going through the stalls, trying to find obscure magazines, you
know? I went there in the 90s as a fan, and I went there before the room doubled in size, and I remember the first year of Smallville, when it was just coming out, there was a room that held about 300 people, and it was a big deal that 20 people were in the hallway waiting to get in. Like, that's, just to put that in perspective.
Yeah.
Like, it's... It's bananas what's happened.
Yeah. And now everyone wants to go. Like, every show is trying to get it.
Well,
like,
the other thing is some of the shows really don't belong, but they just want the fan base and the passion and whatever. But jumping past all that, did you reach the point with Mockingjay that they offered you the role, or did you still have to audition?
No, I had to audition. I did an audition tape at home because I was working at home, so I couldn't be in the room. And just on a 7D, did an audition tape, sent it to Francis. But I got the job on that one tape. They didn't ask me to recall or anything. Obviously, Nina and John and Francis really liked it. And I just got the phone call saying, they really love you. They want to know if you'd shave all your hair off. It's like it was a deal breaker.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, you know what? For the Hunger Games, I probably would. And then that's when I became part of the family. And then when I joined and had the conversation, then Francis and I had a phone conversation about 2-3 days later, and where we discussed the hair and decided to go for the half shaved head look instead. So I got away lightly. I was willing to go full you.
Right. Well, what's your name? Had to shave her head for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Karen Gillan. Yeah.
Exactly. And she's gonna have to shave again when they start filming next year. So, I mean, it's a...
Oh, yeah. So, actually, I mean, the fact that we did it, the two movies together, meant that we did it in the nice big chunk of 9 months. So,
totally.
You know, I move on.
I have to say, the haircut is really badass, and I'm sure you've gotten a lot of people saying it looks really cool.
It looks good on camera, yeah.
It really does. Mm. Are you prepared for... Because I'm sure there are going to be people who look at that haircut and say, that's effing cool.
You see, people have said that to me, but I'm just not so sure, you know, because... Like, it's not so much the haircut, I agree with you, the haircut fucking rocks, and I love the undercut thing, and I've got this little bit of a fluffy undercut now that I'm really enjoying, and
right.
I can style it, hide it, show it not. The thing about, like, you know, it's going to be an iconic look, is that tattoo is going to really hurt, because for it to, like, the fluffy undercut is cool, but for people to be like, actually, I think I'm going to put a tattoo on my head, like, that's like another level.
Well, I'm not necessarily sure, although you're right, maybe...
But that's what she is, that's the
totally,
look. You
yeah,
know, it's not the about the undercut, it's about the tat with Cressida.
You're right, no, you're right.
So...
I still think people are going to go for it in some way, in terms of shaving part of the hair or be inspired, because ultimately I think many people draw inspiration for what they see, and they see a strong woman with this look, rocking it well, they're like, I want to do that too.
Well, the Katniss Everdeen braid, one-sided braid, has kind of been around a bit recently now.
Yeah.
So maybe it is catching.
I like that. How have you changed as an actor in terms of the way you get ready for a role from when you maybe first started to the way you are now? Do you have a very similar process, or have you adapted as your skill set has improved?
My internal it's a very interesting question. My internal emotional process is probably the same, but obviously as you, the more you work, the more technically skilled you get. So I'm probably heightened, I'm a lot more aware now about how a camera crew works and what they need from me and how we can work simpatico. And I'm kind of aware of and my technical understanding of how a set functions and how a camera crew works has just helped inform me. But my actual internal emotional process, still the same. And when I go back to the stage, because I'm originally stage trained, completely more or less exactly the same, just a little bit older and a little bit wiser.
Part one is very interesting because it breaks away from what's been done before and really focuses on the propaganda of war. How much did you know about what the film was going to be going for, the two parts, if you will, before getting involved? I mean, generic question, but had you read all the books? Were you a fan of the series? And you know what I mean? And what maybe, well, let's start with that.
I hadn't read the books. I read the books upon getting the role immediately. I was incredibly impressed by them. The team as a whole, Francis Lawrence and the producing team, are so committed to being faithful to the books and the source material, and I think that shows. You obviously have to make it a wider world and take it away from the Katniss Everdeen, like, internal monologue POV. You have to open it up. So I think they do a very good job at bringing the different angles for the different characters. I knew I was in safe hands. We were a month into shooting Mockingjay when Catching Fire came out, and it did so well. And obviously that was helmed by Francis. And, you know, the reaction to that movie was extraordinary. And so to know that, you know, Francis had our backs now, Francis was like team captain and he had it. You know, he had it. He gets the material, he gets the source material. And he's very good at, with big spectacle, like, you know, this film could just be like big spectacle and like big epic kind of like distant themes. He's very good at like bringing you down to the kernel of the emotional truth of the matter. So I, you know, to see the reaction to Catching Fire when we were a month into the shoot made me so much more so excited about knowing where we were heading. You know, and I was a massive fan of the first movie.
Yeah, I was gonna, I would imagine that always puts everyone in a great mood when you're like, oh, this made commercial and critical success.
Yeah.
We trust this guy.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the success of Hunger Games is that such a commercially viable movie can really deal with some really important subject matter.
100%.
And we need more of that, so.
100%. Before I run out of time, a lot of people online are very passionate about getting you in a Marvel or DC movie, superhero, stuff like that. Have you heard that online chatter, and is it something that interests you?
I'm not going to comment about like potential jobs in the future because, you know, I'm super, you know, I just, you know, that's a rabbit hole to go down and get caught up in. But all I'll say is I'll go where the good scripts are. For me, Catching Fire, Game of Thrones, and all my other work, I'll just go where the good scripts are. So I love being part of huge mega blockbusters, and I love being a part of small independent films and small stage. I'm just looking at the material. I want to know the character, and I want to know the text, and then the decision I make from there. So
100%. And that's the as I've spoken to a lot of people, that is the right answer.
Sure.
Where the good script is.
Exactly.
And the good director.
And it's so, you know, I'm not biased towards what a budget is, or, you know,
sure,
for that, it's the material.
100%. Day in and day out, I'm so impressed with Game of Thrones. Just the scale, the ambition, the storytelling,
yeah,
what it's willing to do.
Yeah.
For you, as someone who works on it, but also I'm sure can appreciate the level of craftsmanship, what is it really like to be a part of something that is just so well done and could easily go off the rails, but never does?
David and Dan are just, you know, all you know, credit to them. They do such a good job, and I've just finished season 5, and it's a phenomenon, and it grows every year. And we all, as a cast, are just, like we were talking about Comic-Con, as a cast, we talk about it, like, because we're kind of flabbergasted by it, how it grows, and the support that is out there internationally. So I think we're all just hyper aware that we're part of a phenomenon, and it's in a moment in our lives and our careers. And to enjoy it, and you know, because this too shall pass, and it's just an incredible ride to be on.
Right.
Last question.
I was going to say, what do you, when the show is currently airing? Because obviously, the show is so green screen and so effects heavy. For you, I'm sure you don't see it, because I've spoken to some of the directors, and they say that sometimes they're finishing, like, you know, days or a week before it airs. So for you, are you watching it weekly with everyone else?
Oh, I watch it like a fan, and actually, I've done it. This is the first year. This is my fourth year. Playing Marjorie, I've tried an experiment this year. I haven't read the bits of the script. I have up until about halfway through the series, but after about halfway through season 5, I stopped reading the not my part. So I don't know what's going to happen, because I love watching the show as a fan. So I've just this year I'm experimenting with not knowing what's going to happen. I haven't read all the scripts in detail.
Well, what's great about that, and I know I have to go, is that you literally now can't spoil it for people, because you really
because I know. Really don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't. And when like Kit or Amelia start talking, I'm like, shut up! I don't want to hear in the makeup trailer. I'm like, I don't want to hear. Yeah.
That's really funny. Congrats on everything. Wish you nothing but the best.
Lovely. Nice to meet you.